Friends, this afternoon I'd like us to think, or I'll think with you, about the subject of hope. And I've got four kind of headings, and the first one is the relevancy of hope. The relevancy of hope. Hope touches on all of life. It's relevant intellectually. Hope affects how we think about ourselves. Let me ask you, who, or perhaps what, are human beings? What are we talking about? The atheists, anyway, they say that we are simply part of the animal kingdom, that we are made of flesh and blood like any animal and no more. However, what challenges that, at least a little bit, is that we human beings have hopes and dreams. For example, you probably have, I hope you have, planned your holidays coming up. If you don't have any holidays, sorry about that, but for those of us who have holidays, which is probably most of us, what are you going to do? We make plans, don't we? Where we're going? Who are we going to go with? We have a sense of the future. We look forward to it. And we have hopes about what we might do or even who we might become. But you've watched animals, haven't you? What do they do? Well, they react to stimuli. You poke them or this happens or that happens. They react. But they're not planning what they're going to do next January. You ask me how I know that? I've asked them. They don't have no... got plans for January? No, I haven't thought about it. They don't do that. They're not planning their next career move or what will I be when I grow up. The fact of hope sets us apart from the animal world. So, who or what do we think human beings are? Hope is relevant emotionally as well. Our hopes profoundly affect how we feel about ourselves and about our lives. Without hope, we don't feel motivated to do anything. You ever had one of those days? When we feel life is hopeless, we struggle to get out of bed. We struggle to make decisions. We struggle to get excited about anything. Hope is relevant philosophically as well. When you think about it, and you don't want to think about it too much because it's depressing, but our life on earth, it isn't that long. It's quite short, in fact. We're born, we live, we die, and you know what happens after we're gone? This planet just keeps spinning without us. Life continues. And eventually you and I are forgotten. In our short lives, is there any actual real meaning to life, really, which can be the basis of our hopes? And then hope is relevant spiritually, of course. Everybody wonders whether there is life after death. Or actually, a more worrying question is, is there a God on the other side to whom we must give account? That's actually a bit scarier. And some people hope that there is no God because they know if there is, they'll be in deep trouble when they meet him. They hope there's no God. So hope is profoundly relevant. We can't live without hope. You just can't. But the fact of hope, that we all have hopes, raises intellectual, emotional, philosophical, and spiritual challenges. My second heading is the definition of hope. Well, what is hope? What am I talking about? Well, a dictionary meaning says something like this. Hope is the eager expectation of a desired outcome. Now, that just sounds really boring. But, you know, hope is simply what you want to see happen tomorrow or next year or into the future. It's what excites you. It's what you hope for. It's what you want to see. But of course, there are different kinds of hope, aren't there? There is what we might call unrealistic hope. Look, there was a day, I remember when I was a little kid, and I don't know if it's true anymore, a time when every little boy dreamt of playing test cricket for Australia. Did all the guys here dream, you know, you just go down the hallway bowling and, you know, we've all done that. I don't know if it's so true anymore, test cricket. I don't know what kind of future. It's more the Big Bash. You know, I want to get out there and... And even for little girls now, there's a hope. And I must admit, I spent part of the afternoon watching the women's Big Bash. It was pretty exciting. In fact, I had to leave, and I don't know who won, but one of them did. It looked like it was going to go right down to it. It looks pretty exciting. But there might be someone who has political ambitions here. There might be someone in this crowd, quite possible, who wants to be the Prime Minister of Australia. Is that you? Could be you. Why you would want to be, I'm not sure. It's a very short career these days. 2 years maybe, if you're lucky. However, you might want to be that. But with all these grand dreams that we might have, test cricket, politics, whatever, and I don't want to burst your bubble, but when someone has great hopes, we usually say, good luck, go for it. But really what we think is, it's unlikely. You're not going to make the test team. I mean, really. You know, you're not bad, but you're not that good. I can't see you becoming that good. You're good at debating. You're great in the debating team at school, but I really don't think you're going to make it all the way to the top. We don't say it, we only think it. But they're unrealistic hopes, aren't they? They're unlikely to happen. We call it wishful thinking, or we've got this old-fashioned phrase, you've got Buckley's. Then there's reasonable hope, and I think that's what we usually mean by that word. You're planning a picnic next weekend. You hope it won't rain. My third daughter got married off yesterday. Well, I married her off to a great guy, and you know that's it. And we were hoping all week that it'd be good weather, and actually it wasn't a bad day. It was a lovely day yesterday. But it could have been storming, there could have been hail and lightning coming down, and I'd be wondering whether the marriage should go ahead. But anyway, it was a lovely day, and obviously God shined upon us. That's great. You work hard, you deliver at work, and you're hoping for that promotion. You might get it. You studied hard, and you hope you'll pass your exams or get the mark that you want. And, well, you probably will if you've worked hard. All these hopes are reasonable hopes. There's a good chance. You're not absolutely certain, but you're in with a chance, and we say, good luck to you. It'll probably happen. However, when we now come to the Bible and we read about hope, and there's hope all through the Bible, when we read about hope, what does it mean there in the Bible? It actually means something actually different to the meanings that we've just thought about. Hope in the Bible is something actually far more confident, far more positive, far more definite. And I think when you read hope in the Bible, you could almost scratch it out and write the word confidence. Because that's what hope is in the Bible. It is confidence. It's confidence that after our life on earth, after our death, that despite our mistakes and failures, if we're followers of Christ, God will forgive us and welcome us into his kingdom. We have that hope. But it's not kind of, well, I hope it happens. It's a confidence. Hope in the Bible is confidence about spending eternity with Christ and all who trust and follow him. Third heading I've got, the way to hope. How do we get hold of this? Where do you get it? How do you grab onto it? How do you have it? This certainty, this confidence of eternal life with God. Well, you might think it comes from religious observance. You know, the more you go to church, the more confident you might become. Or maybe if you pray more, it sort of comes to you somehow by just going over it in your head or whatever. And the answer to that is, no, it isn't how biblical hope comes. In fact, the answer is quite surprising from our passage. The answer actually is not so much anything you do to get more confident in God. It's actually something God does. Let me just read to you that one verse, which is the main verse I want to look at. Verse 3, praise the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us a new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Peter, the writer, praises God because of something God has done in us who are believers. God has given us new birth. Literally, the word is God has caused us to be born again. God has caused us to be born again. Look, when you think about it, think about your first birth. It's hard to remember, but think about it. You didn't bring yourself into the world, did you? I hope you're not arrogant enough to think you did it. I'm sure. Yeah, you know, there was some effort involved, I know. But when you arrived, people did not praise you as a baby and say, well done, baby. It's not easy. narrower than you think. You know, you don't praise the baby. You might say the baby's cute, or you might lie and say the baby's cute. But, you know, you do something, but you're not really praising the baby. You don't say, well done, baby. In fact, the praise goes, of course, to the mother. She's done the heavy lifting, or perhaps the heavy pushing. She did the work. She's the one sweating away, and her hair's all looking disgusting. And, you know, she's done the work. She's done the work. We praise, good on you, mum. Well done, brilliant, and we praise her. Of course, the husband gets no praise. Have you noticed that ever? No one gets that husband going, cool, well done. Not at all, because husbands generally don't do anything when it comes to the birth. And I can just illustrate by my own experience. We all have our own stories, but on the night that our youngest, the one that was married yesterday, was born, 19th of December, 1991. I thought I'd be a really great husband and a really good father because I had wisdom teeth problems. And I thought, look, it's 2 weeks out. I'm going to get all sorted. And I went out and got my wisdom teeth done that night, that afternoon, actually. And it was a little bit dodgy dentist because I had to find someone. It's an idea I had, very kind of spur of the moment. So I found someone who had a room and a chair after hours, fairly discounted rate. And he said, sit down, and he just ripped out 4 wisdom teeth. Yeah, a bit of a mess. And when I got home, there's blood dripping out of my mouth, and I thought, I probably should have gone to someone qualified. However, I've done it, ready, and in a couple of weeks it'll all be healed and I'll be ready to help with the baby and the birth and everything. But of course that very night at 2 a.m. in the morning, my wife's waters broke and it was on. It was happening. And so we raced to the hospital. We were in Melbourne at the time. We had private health insurance, which is fantastic, and it was like a hotel, you know. Man, it was really nice. But when we walked in, there was blood coming down. The nurses all jumped on me and go, oh, Mr. Lee, how, sit down. And it was a great night. And they were bringing me stuff and ice packs, and they put the television. You just sit there, Mr. Lee. I remember it because all night I watched Mr. Ed. You young people have no idea. It's the talking horse, and it's just a great show. And that's all I remember. I was no trouble. And in fact, I mean, occasionally I looked over and said, are you okay, honey? When she groaned, I said, you're all right. You know, great hospital, they did it all. No praise to the husband. Now, husbands have their own stories, fathers here, but we don't deserve any praise. We praise the mother. And this is what Peter is saying here, that when Christians, people turn to Christ and have a brand new start in life before God, called the new birth, being born again, that's actually a work of God. It's actually not the person who decides to be a Christian. It's actually the work of God. God causes people to be born again. And therefore, Peter praises God. He doesn't praise the people he's writing to here, the Christians. Peter doesn't praise them for being born again. He praises God because it's something God does. So the very first thing to realize, it's a bit of a hard concept really, is that our confidence, our biblical hope, why we know we're on the right track, it's not because something that we kind of muster up inside to be confident. It's a confidence that God gives when he brings us to himself. And says Peter, this new birth is according to God's great mercy, God's kindness. Not because we deserve it, but for whatever great reason God chooses to bring us to himself. And one of the most exciting things that comes with this new birth through God's mercy is hope. We've been born again to a living hope. But what is the basis of this hope of eternal life? And Peter says, this hope comes, this confidence comes through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Now, everybody knows that the cross is a symbol of Christianity. It's known all over the world. People know that it's about Jesus. They know that Jesus came to earth. They know he lived a perfect life, yet died on a cross for sins of the whole world, and he takes the place that we deserve. People know that's the cross. And you and I can receive forgiveness, every person in this room, if we just put our trust in Jesus. Trust him and begin to follow him, as we've heard from the confirmees, to do that. And if we do that, we receive God's kindness and mercy and forgiveness and everything. But just think for a moment, what if Jesus didn't rise from the dead? He died on the cross and didn't rise. what does that mean? Well, it means the whole thing falls over. Because how do we know if our sins are really forgiven? And that's why the resurrection is so important. It's so important. Because Jesus died and rose again. He defeated death. He took the punishment for our sins. In fact, in another place, Paul writes, it's 1 Corinthians 15, he says that if Jesus didn't rise from the dead, then his preaching is useless, and also your faith is also useless. But Jesus did rise. He did deal with our sins. He did defeat death. And by rising again, he can give us the confidence that we have a new life, even life beyond death. His resurrection is the guarantee that one day we will rise to new life. So that's the basis of our hope. If you're a Christian and says, how can you be so confident? You say, well, actually, my confidence isn't anything to do with me. It's knowing Jesus Christ died and he rose again. We're coming up to Christmas. It is a wonderful celebration of the baby Jesus to the world, the gift of the baby Jesus. But Jesus is only a gift to the world because of Easter. Christmas means nothing without Easter, his death and resurrection. And that's why it's so important that Jesus didn't rise and go to heaven in a secret way or in a mysterious way. He appeared to Peter. He appeared to other disciples. He ate breakfast with them. He appeared to 500. It was so important. It was a public appearing. So Peter says, our hope is a living hope. And I think there's two senses in there. Living in the sense that our hope is in the living Lord Jesus, and living in the sense that our hope is real hope. It's not a dead hope. It's not unrealistic hope. It's not wishful thinking. It's a living, real hope. And nothing can change that. Nothing can change that. Because the last heading I want to say is the difference hope makes. What difference does it make that we have this hope? Well, I've written down in my notes, it changes everything. That's the difference. I really believe that if you have this biblical hope, then everything changes. Why? Because it's based on the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Nothing can change that. I might just finish with a personal story, if that's okay. I wanted to take the chance, and every church I go to, I take the chance to say to those of you who've been praying for me in the last 12 months, I just want to thank you from the bottom of my heart because it made all the difference knowing you were praying. I'm sure many of you don't know what this is about, but last year I was diagnosed with pancreatic cancer and had a 10-hour operation. I don't know how they do it, still don't believe it, but it's true that they've removed five organs or parts of five organs and they replumbed it all, that everything, you know, I still don't get it. The surgeon drew a picture, I still don't get it, but they did it and it's an incredible thing. But I have to tell you that when I woke up from that operation, I wasn't sure if I really wanted to. If they told me what it was going to be like afterwards, I might have thought, I don't know. And it was, for me, the most miserable time and the most difficult time of my life with, you know, half a dozen tubes hanging out. And you know, every 3 hours, there was the injections to keep the pain level down. And it was absolutely the pits. But even in the middle of that, I didn't lose hope, not because of anything in me. See, it doesn't matter. No matter how much suffering or how much disappointment or whatever happens in life, you know what? Nothing at all changes the fact that Jesus came, died, and rose again for you. That's just a fact. That's it. In fact, you can believe it or not believe it. It still happened. But I hope that you put, every one of you, put your trust in Jesus Christ. And one of the thoughts that occurred to me as I lay in hospital with this hope, I'm not saying I was smiling or jumping up and down, I'm just saying it was still there. I didn't lose it. And, you know, if, as I said, a Christian is someone where it's not so much us, it's God working in our heart. And I know that God was in my life, not because I deserve it, but the sign was that when I laid there in hospital thinking about everything, obviously, I was worried. I was worried about my friends, about my family, people who did not have this hope. And you know what? I still worry about that. And although I don't know many of you, I worry about it for you. Jesus has actually come And I hope you remember this at Christmas. And I love whoever was giving that introduction before. It's not about the place settings. I love that. I'm going to use that line if that's all right. It's a beauty. You know, we all think it's about the place settings, getting it just right. It's about Jesus, obviously, that he came, but at Easter he died and rose again. And that is the basis of biblical hope. And I pray this Christmas that every one of you will have that hope. Just trust in Jesus, follow him, and God will give you new birth and a new start. And it's going to be so strong that whatever life throws at you, you're going to have that hope, and it's going to keep you strong, and it's going to keep you solid. So last year, I didn't know if I was going to make it to Christmas. I certainly wasn't expecting to come to another confirmation at St. Paul's. So you don't know what God's going to do. But through the worst of times, hope is real, because it's a living hope based on the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Please, may I pray for you all. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for Christmas and the joy that brings and the people that come together. We thank you for that joyful time. But please help us to be most joyful that Jesus came. You allowed him to be born a babe, to live a perfect life, but then as a man died for us on the cross, rose again that we might have new life. Father, I pray for each and every person here that they might put their simple trust in Jesus, follow him, be born again, and have that hope that is strong enough to outlast any challenge that comes. Amen.